All right, Token Smart Podcast. A lot has changed since we were last here together, at least not in my life. We're Trizlets probably, but damn, Matthew's got a new member of the family in between one podcast and another. So super stoked to catch up with you guys. Can probably catch you guys up on Whip Asia, which was when Matthew was literally in the hospital and had an awesome Whip this week with the Maker's Place drop. Actually want to pick your guys' brain for some Whip coin stuff moving forward. So a lot of cool stuff going on. Plus a trip to the zoo this week at this week's Whip, right? I believe I have that correct on the calendar. So yeah, man, lots of cool stuff coming up. I don't know, Matthew, I feel like you should kick it off, man. Welcome back and congratulations. And I almost can't even believe you're here, but I knew you were obviously at the Whip on Thursday and wouldn't miss it. So welcome back, dude.
Am I really back? This past week has been absolutely insane with the new baby. But in a great way. Things are starting to settle down a little bit. The wife is in take the postpartum resort with the baby. Everyone's out of the hospital. It's just nice. Getting back to somewhat of maybe a new normal, I guess you could call it. So I'm stoked to be able to get on this call, talk about the Whip that I was able to attend last week with the Makers Whip, which I thought went pretty well. Helped sell thousands of dollars of crypto art over on their side. Like to claim responsibility for POC selling out. I don't know how much they'll honor that claim, but we'll see. But the speakers are pretty dope. Looking forward to another.
We'll claim it.
Yeah, we'll claim it. Another tight Whip this week. Got some great guests. Austin Griffith from Nifty.Inc. coming in to talk about his XDAI project, Blockstack. Jake Bruckman talking about CoinFund, recently invested in Rarible. That should be tight. M20. And then, like you mentioned, trip to the zoo. So all engines go for this week. And then the whole effing NFT space is like blowing up around us as we speak too. So it's like a whole bunch of good stuff, good signals.
Yeah, for sure. Congratulations on that. I'm surprised you're even awake.
Thanks, brother.
But yeah, besides the Whip, yeah, all crypto land sort of this week has been crazy. I mean, the uni stuff just caused everything to go insane, which made gas prices go farther than I've seen them before, which is great fun because you could see everybody trying to jump on that train. Gas prices were over $1,000 at one point. Oh, look, $500 gas fee to do simple transactions. So it's interesting because there's a lot of people, you know, all the sidechain projects, like those are the things that, you know, my prediction are about to explode sooner rather than later. Because you always have, you know, people like, well, I could see why I would need it, but it's not that bad right now. So I'll just deal with what I know. But man, when you start having to spend hundreds of dollars to transfer an NFT, that's going to change the whole landscape pretty quick.
Well, then that's sort of the situation that we're in with Whipcoin, which is I'm going to compile the list from the last three whips and try and wait till like a low dip in gas to kick out the last three guest lists worth of Whipcoin, which will happen sometime sooner or later. But moving forward, I was talking with Jim and trying to figure out what does make the most sense for us. And I think we're just going to use the tip bot or at least like that's the plan that we've hatched. And we can essentially like airdrop the Whip coin in Discord to our Whip guests. And that might be the path of least resistance, at least in the short term, while gas is so high, because, at least right now, this isn't Whalecoin, Rari, or Uni. This is Whip coin, and it's not worth a damn thing until we like give it some value by putting our store up and everything. And, we don't want to go broke, kicking gas prices out. So, Jim had actually hatched the idea that we could essentially drop it on the voice channel of everyone who is listening to the Whip, through Discord or the, you know, general chat channel, or we could airdrop it, you know, a few times throughout, but this will sort of alleviate, at least in the short term, this, like, you know, situation where we're essentially playing like gas roulette, right? Like right now, the couple times we've kicked it out, you know, compile the spreadsheet of all of the lists or of all the addresses, put them in the thing, and then like wait to hit detonate after, like, you know, mash and refresh on the ETH gas station website or whatever until things dip low enough. And it just, it seems like sort of like a janky and like not practical way to go about things while gas is, like, you know, going up and down and up and down. So I know it's not like a perfect solution, but what are your guys' general thoughts on something like that? Even if it's like a temporary solution, like, how do you feel about that?
I mean, you know, that's not a bad way to work around it for now. I like Tipbot. It's interesting because it's, you know, realistic. I've talked to the guys, you know, making it, and you can jump on their Discord and you can, you know, so if you have problems, they're fairly open and they, you know, but it's basically, you know, all the tokens are sent to their wallet and then you're using the bot to transfer, maintain, you know, things going back and forth. But the fact that it's all working on the back, you kind of, if we use it as a way to distribute Whipcoin, then now you're basically giving our users the responsibility to sort of watch gas station. You know, if they want to dump it out to their wallet, play with it on OpenSea or some, you know, rareable, whatever we plan on doing, or use it on some sort of future DAO sort of thing, you know, whatever. So if it needs to be in their wallet, then it's up to them to look at the gas, you know, station piece and make sure they send it when it's low, or if they're willing to pay it, then they can send it whenever, right? I like that idea because you're giving control of it to the end user and we're not dictating when they get it.
Yeah, CC Tipbot is freaking amazing. I mean, over on the Whale Discord, I think Whale just chimed out that they had distributed over $10 million worth of Whale using CC Tipbot. That is insane. And it makes sense. I mean, zero gas costs. I mean, after the initial deposit, like Trizlet said, folks can hold it in their CC Tip wallet, and then they can make that decision when and if they want to bring those funds on chain to do whatever they want to do with it. The only concern I would have in our regards is making sure that we would have an easy way to identify how many people we distributed it to per whip, just to make that retention tracking easier and yeah, just more salient that way. But other than that, I feel like that's the way we have to go. Otherwise, like, we're just going to be hemorrhaging funds for no real reason at this point. We still haven't gotten out any of the, like, the benefits of what folks can do with it yet. We're really, really close with the moments, at least. Exclusive chat is also coming up, which kind of dovetails nicely with using CC Tip, since the exclusive chat would be within Discord, which is where CC Tip, where one of its homes is, at least. But yeah, that's feels like we have to do that. Otherwise, we're just throwing money away unnecessarily.
You know, that it'd be interesting to gather, like, opinions from, you know, people listening on how they think it should go out. But I mean, first, right off the top of my head, I'm just thinking, if we, let's say the reward is 30 whip coins a meetup or something like that. If our standard meetup is an hour, why not drop one whip coin every 2 minutes to everybody in the stream channel?
No, totally, man. I think that's the play. I want to say, like, until the halfening or however Nate has it set up, it's 1,000 whip coin per event that gets evenly distributed to all the guests or whatever. But yeah, I mean, I think the play is, since we don't have to, you know, there's some advantages, I guess. You know, I have similar concerns as Matthew about, like, keeping track of people. And also, you obviously want to, like, reward everybody who's at the whip. And it would be a shame if someone's in CV, you know, listening and participating and doesn't get that. So, you know, it'll take possibly some handholding in the beginning. But, you know, the ability to drop it, like, staggered throughout the event, you know, also will probably do some service to us in terms of keeping people engaged and present throughout the course of the event. Not that you want a bunch of, like, people just hanging out to get rained on, but I do think that increases engagement and, you know, makes people probably stick through maybe a presentation that they might not necessarily think they're originally interested in, but now they are sort of forced to hang out and, you know, digest all the information. And so I think there are a lot of positive things that can come from it, but agree with what you're saying, Trislet, man. It would be cool for people listening at Easy's listening party if they have like better ideas than we do, certainly not above sourcing information from our people.
I wonder if there's a way to like set up a channel for the drops, like have people sign the guest book as per normal, but leave their Discord handle. And then just like, as long as we have their handle, they're a member of Token Smart, obviously, like we should be able to kind of directly tip them as opposed to coming up with some like per minute payout or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's not a bad idea, man.
Cause I didn't even think about that, but that's a really good point, is that one of the purposes of people signing the guest book is either exclusive drops, but also on our end, we want to know who's here, exactly. Who's recurringly coming so we can do stats, yeah. And help know what we want to improve upon and what maybe isn't working. So we kind of lose that if we just...
We'll get there. We'll get there, everyone who's hanging on to their Whipcoin. I saw Jim was just like making it rain Whipcoin. I can't remember if it was Friday or Saturday night, but it seemed like a like crazy party was going on in the Token Smart Discord. And I just popped my head in a couple times just to see what was going on. It was just like all GIFs of like people whipping things and like Jim making it rain Whipcoin on people. And it's cool, man. I like that kind of thing. And it's cool to see, like, I was actually just talking to Jim about this you know, he was like, you know, it's worth nothing. And it was crazy, but also very cool to see everybody having such a good time, just like throwing it around. And, you know, the same type of thing goes on within the whale community and in the whale Discord as well. But their token is actually obviously worth like a significant value. And, you know, I was just thinking about like why that was possible, even with our, you know, worthless coin at the moment. And it seemed like people just want to have fun, man. They just want to be where the action is at and throw some whip coin around and post some funny GIFs. And man, I can't remember if it was Trippy or Ozzy Master who had taught people that you can require people to say something in order to get the drop, and then like the bot will check your name off or something. And I saw, you know, someone made it say like I love Sandy Meows, and you know, people were just making it say like all these ridiculous things, and then everyone was just chiming in. And it was like a party, man, with like a bunch of worthless currency like cycling around to everybody, and everybody's just tipping each other. And it was really, really cool, even just being like a fly on the wall for a couple minutes, popping in here and there. That sort of like leads me into my other thought, which I wanted to make it a point to bring up, was, you know, obviously like Matthew was unable to attend Whip Asia with good reason and everything. But again, going back to like the community and the culture and everything, it was really like a moment for me personally to, I barely had to say anything, man. I was like, you know, Matt's having a baby. So, you know, if I could lean on you guys for a little bit more support, dropping the guest list links in the, you know, chat box and Crypto Voxels, and, you know, dropping the audio message, you know, if you're having audio problems, hop into Discord, and just sort of like the run of the mill, like things that Matt and I mostly handle ourselves, you know, leaned on the Whip crew a little bit. And I got to say, man, like it almost happened like better than it ever has, because I felt like everyone like rallied behind your absence and was like, yo, we got to pick up the slack. Let's do it right, you know, for Matt while he's not here. And it went really, really well, man. And you know, I feel like, you know, at least me, man, because I'm an egomaniac when I'm not around for things. I'm always like secretly like sort of hoping like it goes well, but like I'm also missed, and like my lack of presence is also like missed and needed. And I think there was like all of that, man. I feel like it went really, really well in your absence, but it was because people really value your participation in these events, and the gap that was there that everyone was willing to fill it. I don't know, man. I know I'm sort of rambling on right now, but it was one of these like great like whip moment, whip fam, whip community like things that's like very, very hard to quantify. And you know, when I ask myself like, what is the whip, and people keep saying it's like a show, and I'm like, I don't like that, because I feel like that trivializes stuff like that. And it's really like, I don't know, man, part of it is like really the community thing that like really is what excites me about it much more, you know, beyond the show and everything. So anyway, man, it was a great like Whip Asia moment. And we did the little Trizlet was there for the Metal Olympics hop around afterwards, right, man?
Yeah, that's right. I thought I did pretty good on the racetrack. It's like, man, we all need to practice so we win gold. No, actually, I still like the torch idea. I need to figure out if I can get a working torch so I can start from the other end of Crypto Voxel's land and run all the way across before the starting ceremony. But yeah, I totally get what you're talking about with it's not really rambling, because you're right. That's part of the point of this, you know, us talking right now, is because that's in a normal production, like, I don't feel anybody who's not involved with the Whip fam side of things wouldn't see that, which is what we want, right? We put on a great show, everybody stepped up, they did what they're supposed to do, so everything worked. But behind the scenes, that's the stuff that's real. It's impressive when you see that, like the whole stage crew all gather around, they're like, yep, we're down a guy, no problem, we all know what to do, we're all prepped, we know how to handle this, we're not scared of funky things, you know, coming up. So I mean, congratulations to everybody on the Whip fam for that, shout out to everybody. But yeah, it's exciting stuff.
I like that. I mean, there definitely is a show aspect, but the community aspect, I feel like they go together hand in hand, right? I mean, there is no Whip if there's no Whip fam. There's no Whip, there's not a Whip crew, right? And this is all a community joint effort. And it's so cool that everyone is down to do whatever. And it's not like people are set in these like strictly defined roles. It's sort of like people are able to do whatever they want to do whenever. And then when the occasion arises, when they can do more, people can naturally flow into those expanded like roles and spots and test themselves. It's amazing. And just checking my DMs and messages after my baby was born, on the day of Whip Asia, I was just seeing that everything went so well. It's like, it's perfect, right? Because I mean, like the grander vision potentially is that like, there's not just one or two whips, like there's like a whole plethora of whips in different time zones. And there's whole different whip crews running those shows, right? And what we're building out is just like kind of a model or a paragon for what they can do. Like we're writing the playbook essentially for future whips, where they can just take and be like, yeah, we just need to get our own whip crew, which is like easier said than done. Make sure that we have like the Whip fam spun up around us, like down for what we're doing, and like how they're doing it. And then things can start rolling pretty organically. And again, like you lose a few people, or some people need to kind of like roll out, other people can roll in pretty seamlessly. And I feel like that was a great early test of that, I guess, kind of like pretty robust hypothesis that this thing can be expanded without the people that kind of wrote it to begin with. So I think that's pretty beautiful.
I think it might have been you, maybe, Matt. I was on Twitter, I think, this morning. I saw somebody had put something about a crypto. It's an interesting, just all of the crypto space in general. It's an amazing like aggregator of talent, you know, creativity, you know, and brilliant minds, really. It's interesting because the whole community, like outside of the Whip stuff, all of cryptos, like the more you get into it, the more you just talk to these, you know, a lot of other people, you're like, wow, this is an amazing place to be. But the Whip stuff, just it brings it out hardcore.
Totally. I compared the NFT land, the whole space, to like the most ideal startup the world has ever seen, right? And like it's just attracting the best talent out there. And because everyone's an open early adopter, they're all super open-minded, high EQ kind of people. And then the NFTs, I mean, we're just attracting like the best early adopters that also happen to be immensely talented creatively and where like the WIP is operating sort of at the center of that. But we also span NFT land and are crossing into like DeFi land, traditional crypto, and then like non-crypto ideally, right? So it's just, we're able to harness all the good stuff in this digital community driven show.
You know, it's interesting because like what Rizzo was saying earlier about Jimmy's making it rain the other day, because I was there, I was looking around. That kind of reminds, like, I wasn't around when Bitcoin first came up and it was, you know, worth like a hundred for a penny sort of level. But I was doing some other stuff where it was like, when it started getting a little more expensive, because I think I got into Ethereum when it was around like $4 or $5 an ETH. And at that point, I was just mining stuff because I was like, I'm not going to drop $10 on this. I'm just going to mine it myself. But that was, you could see a lot of people doing it then too. They're like, you know, just sending it back and forth because it wasn't worth as much. So it didn't feel as crazy, you know. But then as things started getting more expensive, that camaraderie started going away and stuff. So I can see when you're like, oh, people tossing around a worthless coin. It's like, I feel like that comes from, they feel like it could grow into something, so they want to get in early. That's why it was, yeah, that was a really cool party. We got the phrase bot going, and then we just started saying, hey, Rizzle likes being mentioned. Everybody, let's do a at Rizzle. Now everybody retweeted a million times, so when he wakes up, he'll get 100,000 you know, requests in Discord.
Dude, I love that shit, man. And that's like that's what's so great about our community, man. And I, you know, feel like we're beating this into the ground, but it also can't be said enough. Like, you know, when we started this whole thing with the WIP, like there really was no clear path forward. And in a lot of ways there still isn't. I mean, we sort of have some grand visions on like where we think this might go. But I mean, really, like, our grand vision, I feel like, changes, you know, month to month, week to week, depending on what has worked, what hasn't worked. And that's the coolest thing about like the WIP crew and the WIP fam and everything, is they just seem like pretty much down to roll. They're like, yeah, we believe in whatever this thing is, wherever it goes. Like, we all collectively agree we got something here, so let's just roll with this and ride it out and see what happens. And, you know, going back to the name, the WIP itself, you know, being the work in progress, I feel like gives us a big cushion to sort of be like, yeah, we don't know what the hell is going to happen, really. That's the name of the game, man. It's a work in progress, and we're just sort of rolling with what works and going to take this thing as far as we can take it. And that sort of like loose approach seems to like have really like galvanized a lot of the community behind us and everything, because I feel like they feel like they're part of it, and they certainly are, because I mean, like what Matthew was just saying, like, you know, we can't do this without them. And, you know, truthfully, a lot of our like best ideas and things that we've implemented are certainly not us. It's like all the peripheral stuff going on around us that has really made this what it is, which is why we can roll up on Thursday and sell a shitload of art for Maker's Place, which we should entirely take credit for everything. Obviously, these artists have no reputation without us serving it up to them. Shout out Murat Pak. regardless, I mean, that's cool, man, that they came back around and recognized the power of the WIP fam and WIP community and everything enough to sign up for another Maker's Place sponsored WIP. And shout out Heidi, was super honored to present on his behalf, and he had a bunch of nice things to say about my goofy presentation that hopefully did his work justice. But I know right away he got like a bid on his 1 out of 1 from Moderats and sold for somewhere around $2,000 or something like that. So he was pretty happy right off the bat. Whether or not that had to do with my presentation, I don't know. I'll just take credit for it, right? That's what we're doing right here.
it was all you.
Yeah,
I'll,
man.
I'll say that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yo, Craigo was super humbled too. Like, right away, people started scooping up his edition work. I know Metapurse made two bids on each of the one of ones that he had. And I let him know, he's like, what, already? Oh my God. Like, he was kind of like blown away by the whole situation and he was excited to get the chance to talk. He was like, oh man, did I do a good job? And I mean, I felt like, of course, everyone, their updates are great, but some of the points and the way that he expressed the ideas behind his art, it kind of just like was the perfect way to express what's happening. He had some amazing, beautiful points. I'm just happy he got a chance to talk. And then obviously getting some follow-up sales from that, almost selling out, I feel like that's just icing on the cake.
Dude, I'm almost caught off guard at some of these whips. Like, I'm so in my head about like making sure the event is pulled off properly that what you said is exactly right, man. Al Craigo, you know, said something, made some like really interesting points and like said something like extra deep that like caught me off guard. And I like, you know, always have to like gather myself after something like that happens. Micah Johnson did that like a few weeks ago as well. And, you know, I'm finding myself listening to these presentations and all these projects and presenters are very interesting in their own right. But like, you know, especially with art, man, some of this shit is like very, very personal and meaningful to people. And, you know, when you're so focused on just making sure the audio isn't crashing and like everyone's like, you know, where they're supposed to be. And, you know, you get caught with some like very, very human, you know, moment that just sort of grinds everything to a halt. That was beautiful, man. It was really interesting to hear from his perspective, because he's like a OG in the art game, like for many, many years now, who really just forayed into crypto like not even that long ago. What do you say, like a year or something like that? Yeah, it's nuts. So I don't know, man. Those are honestly some of my favorite parts. Again, man, going back to like the community thing and like the human aspect of like, you know, what really goes on at the whip and everything. Like all the presentations and projects are cool, but stuff like that is like what I live for, and really, really love that presentation. It's good for you to be back, man. I know you had been in the hospital and were itching to scoop up some art. Did you pick up an Al Craigo?
Hell yeah. I picked up Generations, I think.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
Like the Generations marching through that 200-year-old factory. I was like, the description sold it for me. I was like, fuck yeah, let me get that.
I saw you doing like a little retail therapy throughout the weekend too. You posted a couple. Yeah. I was like, Matthew probably needs to go spend some money on some crypto. Dude, I have two kids, man. I don't blame you. I know how it is, man. I'm like, I need to go do something for me personally, like blow a lot of money on crypto art or like, yeah, man, that's a heavy week.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about the weekend. I mean, I typically scoop crypto art on Saturdays. I'm just browsing, and especially these days with Rarible, with the Rary refund, it just, it's subsidizing like an already established habit. So I'm just like going to town over on Rarible, uncovering new artists, uncovering gems that people have like for some reason bizarrely listed super low. Yeah, just kind of like floated out a list of what I had scooped, and it seems like I'll probably keep doing that, just shouting out all the great artists that are coming in and doing awesome stuff. So, but yeah, it was totally therapeutic at the same time.
Dude, do you guys think Rarible is going to crush the other marketplaces? That's like sort of the vibe that I'm getting right now. I mean, it seems like they're just totally dominating the market and like understand the crypto game better than the art marketplaces who are currently out there. And I'm like, are we about to see everybody follow suit and do the same thing that they are to try and like keep pace and you know, unleash some sort of reward token? Or is everybody else about to get swallowed up? Because dude, I mean, at least on my Twitter feed, I like rarely see anyone else putting anything on any other platform at this point.
Yeah. Rewarding activity on it is a really interesting way to do it, because it's like now people are saying, you know, well, now people are like, well, let's see, I get paid to use this apparently, you know, it's like as opposed to other ones. I mean, it's really interesting how it's doing it. Like, it's, I don't know, if other platforms don't go that route, then how do you compete, right?
I mean, speaking as a collector, it's really, really hard these days to scoop art from different platforms. Just because I know that money that I spend on non-rarible marketplaces, I'm not going to get that refund back, right? I don't know how long-term sustainable these rare refunds are, right? Like all the LPs that are like making the liquidity pool that is backing Rary, like I don't know how long that's going to last, but when, as long as it does, like I'm spending thousands of dollars there and getting thousands of dollars back for my purchases. And it's like, it's a no brainer. That's why you see folks like Pranksy going to town right now in Rarible, just like selling on top of the selling, getting all the Rary on top of the Rary, buying more, getting more Rary. It's this crazy loop right now. And it's just like, full disclaimer, like if people are also doing the same thing, please make sure you scrape your profits. Like don't just keep letting it ride, because I mean, I can't predict the future, but I've been through a few cycles like this, and there comes a time when the bottom does drop out, even if it's just temporarily. And it's really, really important to make sure that you take profits when you can. Like no one was ever upset at themselves for taking profit at any point. But you know, so many people have been killing themselves because they didn't take any profit and they saw what they thought on paper was like a healthy sum of money, lose it all. So don't forget to do that, folks.
That's a really good call. Yeah, you know, it's actually, I was just thinking, I think what you're seeing, like, yeah, as you said, like obviously everybody's going to go through Rary because of what we talked about a little bit ago about the gas situation, right? Because it's cost so much money to make a trade. So I'm like, well, if you're not going to pay gas for me or figure out a way to offset my losses, then it'll be interesting if we see some movement on an actual solid side chain that starts making it really easy to get on, use, you know, like remove the user barrier to get to it. So you're not paying those big gas fees. If that's the sort of catalyst that would make it so people aren't as active on Rary. Just thinking, you know, because I really feel like that's why people are flocking to Rary, because gas prices are so high. They're trying to make it so it's not so crazy.
Yeah, I mean, you would assume, right, that this is like totally unsustainable. I mean, my assumption is they'll eventually start trickling out the amount of Rary, you know, in much smaller doses so that the price doesn't totally collapse within itself, or at least that seems like the obvious play moving forward. But yeah, right now I'm like, yeah, why would you be incentivized to buy anywhere else? And I mean, let's keep it real. Like Rarible is not like the easiest site to navigate or like find anything anywhere or whatever. It's actually sort of like a train wreck when it comes to like just trying to find stuff. But I don't know, man, that to me, that's also part of the fun, like the thrill of the hunt type of thing. It's like no good way to find anything. So when you like, you know, actually do scroll around and find something, it's very, very exciting and rewarding and probably difficult for other people to find the same thing. So yeah, man, it seems like they're hot right now. And, like I said, man, they seem like they are like crypto game first, art market second. And that approach seems to be like winning hand over foot at this point. And I don't know how you like, yeah, put that cat back in the bag. I got to imagine, I haven't looked at any of the stats, but I got to imagine the other marketplaces are either like, you know, not on the upswing or like, you know, staying flatlined or on the downswing. While I'm pretty sure Rarible has been doing the highest volume of like basically any platform recently. You can correct me if I'm wrong or check my stats on me or anything, but either that or their marketing team just does a great job of like selecting the appropriate stats to blast out there everywhere. Anyway you cut it, it seems like they know what they're doing. And yeah, I haven't scooped anything up on anything else in a little while, other than whip drops and stuff like that, for the exact same reason. I'm like, if I'm going to spend a bunch of money on art, at least I know I'm going to get some sort of kickback on the back end, and maybe that token goes to the moon, but at least, you know, something is better than nothing. And we've made note of this before. I'm like a shitty collector when it comes to like picking stuff that people want to repurchase. So I'm stuck with whatever I got. So I might as well get a token with it.
Dude, like one of the things that Rarible, and we've talked with Alex about this multiple times on the Matthew Mrizzle show, is that their Rarible's ambitions is not limited to crypto art. And you're starting to see that recently with their token-backed insurance, right? For folks that are like in the DeFi space, taking out
thousands of ETH protection for however much they spent buying this NFT, which is the representation of the insurance on some crash or some cataclysmic event with whatever DeFi platform that they're like doing their degen shenanigans on, right? And I feel like that is just a glimpse of what's to come with that platform. And this momentum right now, especially with Rari, is just building towards them expanding beyond crypto art, which, like, again, from a collector standpoint, Rarible is not the ideal site at all. Like Rizzle said, it's really hard to find really what you're looking for. It's really tough in that regards, but it, again, it's not designed just to be an art site. So I feel like that's super important to bear in mind. And it's going to be cool to talk to Jake Bruckman, an investor through CoinFund, about like why he invested in Rarible, what he sees in it as a investor, heading for this Thursday at the Whip. So that'll be cool.
Nice. I need to, I was looking at some of those insurance back stuff. I really want to understand it more. Sometimes I have trouble in that. I feel like sometimes I think too much about it. And then, you know, some of it comes from being technical on the other side. So I'm like, wait a minute, how does this work? How the hell would I get, how would I get delivery of funds if I crash? Like, is this, you know, until I understand how that works, like I don't want to jump in, but then I see everybody else jumping in and maybe it works flawless and I should stop, you know, thinking about it and just buy. I don't know.
I know, man. I'm the same way. I'm like, hang on a second. This shit makes no sense. I can't like wrap my head around this. And then like everyone's buying in. I'm like, wait, am I like the only person here who doesn't understand this or something? Or if we just like all agreed that it makes enough sense that we're going to go for it. And then, yeah, often I get passed up and I'm just left scratching my head. So maybe next time around. Yo, so we got Easy's listening party tonight. I believe Sandy Meows is going to be chopping and editing this. So shout out to her for picking up more podcast duties for the Whip crew and super appreciate that. Do we have anything major we need to hit? Obviously a cool Whip coming up this week that Matthew teased out a little bit in the beginning, plus the trip to the Crypto Voxels Bronx Zoo to collect some zoo shards. It's a really cool project that I can't wait for people to hear more about. And yeah, we'll go on a little field trip to the zoo, take a picture, a group picture outside of the zoo, and then they're going to actually shard the parcel and distribute some of it to the surrounding neighborhood and some of it to the Whip fam. And that's it. Fiend. Done.
And
but yeah, so that's what's on schedule for this week. And yeah, man, another busy week full of cool stuff. And I think that's about it for today, right?
Yeah, we can leave it there.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, y'all. Good to have you back back in the saddle. And we will see everybody at the Whip and do it again next week.
Later, boys.
Later, y'all.
Later.